Praise the Lord. Holy forever, that's going to be us, right? When we hit heaven, no more bad thoughts, no more things going wrong in our minds. Hallelujah. Good. We're going to love everybody. Isn't that nice? Praise the Lord. We're not going to remember all the bad things they did to us, the way they talked bad about us and everything. Oh, that's not you guys? Okay. Praise the Lord. My wife's looking at it like me. Not us. No, we just holy, holy, holy. In the sanctuary, we're holy. But when we get out there, then it's a different story. So you got to keep that holiness inside of you. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray so that I can not offend anybody today. Too late. Okay. All right. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to come before you today. I ask you to guide my heart and my mouth to speak your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today we want to continue our series on We Want to See Jesus. And you know, we're not going to see him in the physical realm. Some people do. But mainly, most of us will see him or realize or have a revelation of him in the spiritual realm. Isn't that right? So we want to know that we can talk to him because we're children of God. He's our Father. You know, in all of the Old Testament, they never called God Father. They always called him, you know, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, you know, the great one. But we now call him Father. Isn't that amazing that we have a God in heaven, the God that created all the heavens and earth, and we can call him Daddy God, hallelujah. I know my earthly father, he would give me anything that he possibly could give. He always asked me, what do you need, son? What do you need, son? But how about our heavenly father? The Bible says that if our earthly father gave us good things, how much more will our heavenly Father give us good things? So whenever you get stuck on a situation, you go like, God, Father God, can you help me with this? Can you show me some things? How can I get through this situation? Amen? Amen. So we're going to look back right now in the course of history, the course of humankind. You know, we're living in the best times of humanity. Did you know that? Amen. In case you didn't know, let's take a little journey back in time, okay? Let's look at Moses' time. Now, Moses, the great Moses, oh, a lot of us would like to live in Moses' time, see the great works that he did. But guess what? To prepare food, it was painstaking. You had to get the grain. You had to make the bread. You got to find the grapes. If you wanted a pie, you had to go outside and find the berries and make the pie. It was a lot of work. You couldn't go to McDonald's and get your apple pie. No, you had to make it yourself. Amen. How about the men? Did they have it? How did they have it? Not that good, okay? Slavery every day, all day, no relief. Talk about a hard day at the office. They had to labor, praise God, but we don't have it that way. How about, okay, let's go back, go up a little bit more. King David's time. How about that? If you want to be in David's time, in a David's army, you have to fight hand-to-hand combat. Who wants to do that? Somebody will come up behind you and stab you in the back with a knife. And you go like, wait, that's not part of the rules. What are you doing? We need some rules here. I don't think I would fare very well in that. There's no rules in that game. Well, how about in Jesus' day? Oh, you think, well, it'd be nice to be with Jesus. Isn't it nice to be with Jesus? But Jesus said, this is not a luxury tour. Because the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of God has nowhere to lay his head. That means this is a traveling tour. And not only that, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be ridiculed. They're going to be out to hurt you, to harm you. They're going to martyr you. Some of you are going to lose your heads. Some of you are going to be beaten to death. You guys want to join up? No, Jesus, I think we'll just wait a little bit. Okay, how about, let's go a little farther in time. How about in the medieval days? Oh, yeah. You know, I'm very competitive. But I don't think I would do very good in this situation, okay? When they explain the rules to me, Joshua, they say, okay, what you got to do is you get on a horse and you ride as fast as you can with a javelin and try to knock somebody else that's riding against you with the fast horse and a javelin. Yeah? That seems like that's kind of dangerous. Yeah, it is dangerous. You could die with that. Okay, so what you do is you just try to knock him off his horse. Okay, then what happens after that? Let's see. Well, then you gotta fight with swords to the death. Now, that's not a good way of playing, is it? No, I'll pass on that. How about in the Old West days? Do you think you would do good with that?
No.
No, these guys don't look friendly, do they? Okay, Pastor Chuck, go out there and talk to them. I don't think I want to talk to them, okay? You know the old scenario where you're down on the street and you say, okay, you draw first. No, you draw first. No, whoever draws first, you know, supposed to kill the other guy. I don't even like guns, okay? I don't think I would do good with guns. In fact, when I was at the Citizens Academy to be a police chaplain, they said, okay, we're going to take you to the gun range and you can shoot the guns if you want. I go, no, I don't want to do that. You know, I'm afraid of guns. Then I saw this 80-year-old lady go up there and start shooting. Pew, pew, pew. I go, give me that gun. I can do that. And the chief said, if you can hit the bullseye, I'll make a chaplain out of you. I go, that's kind of funny requirements, but okay. And I did, and so I am. Praise the Lord. How about in the 1920s? The old Charleston days, dun 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 dun, dun. And but it all came to a crashing halt, didn't it? In 1929 Depression days, where nobody had any money, you had to stand in line to get bread. I don't like standing in line. Do you like standing in line? This is a couple of hours right there. There's over 50 people. I know Walmart closed in Eastland Shopping Center, and there was a two-hour wait just to get in the store to get 50% off. Amen. But I've learned how to wait. And I learned from my brother Jonathan says, he told his kids, sometimes you have to learn how to be bored. You know, you just have to go through it. But I've learned how to meditate in his word daily. And so I would just meditate on the word and talk to God. Before you know it, I'm through the line. That's just a little tip for you guys, that in case you get anxious. But I used to like to wait in line. Did you? The DMV, the restaurants, the markets, the banks, I don't like, but now I have calm, I have peace, amen, praise the Lord. But I was born in the 50s. How many of you remember the 50s? A couple of hands, yeah. And here's a picture of the Ed Sullivan Studio. And look at these people, man. They all dress the same. They all look alike, don't they? They all got dark suits, white shirts, string ties, and they're all uniform, in conformity. That's how I was raised. I was raised, my mother said, you know, children are supposed to be seen and not heard. That's reversed now. Children run all over the place. But so that's the way it was. But the 70s came, and that's when things really exploded. And we can see how the dress changed, wild colors, nothing had to match, just do anything you want, you know, and all other things exploded as well. All the morale of America's changed. But that's the collage. But now, and then they had this thing. Are you cool with that? Here's our buddy. Are you cool with that? Peace. Amen. Now, nowadays, guess what? We live in Computerville. Amen. Everything is done by our fingertips. We don't even have to go to work. We just go to the next room. Don't even have to change your clothes. Just get in there and go on the computer, type. You know, if you want to order something, just get on the computer. If you want to watch something, just get on the computer. Do you remember when we had this at 12 o'clock? They would show a TV. And you hear this buzz. And you know what that meant? It means get up and go to bed. Now you don't have to go to bed anytime. You got 300 stations, 24/7. You never have to sleep. You can go to bed 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Get up at 10 or 12 in the morning. But we have this push button. You know, even when you go to drive, you don't even have to have a key. You just push a button. Push a button, the garage door goes open. Push a button, the water the lawn. I mean, our fingers get tired of everything we have to do. So, but now how about, I just did that to get you, you know, on the same wavelength. How about now, in the Old Testament, you remember how it was? You had to sacrifice sheep and bulls and goats, and you had to obey 613 commandments. Yes, that's what I said, 613. On the Sabbath day, they made up some crazy rules. You couldn't carry anything on the street. That means no key, no handkerchief, no anything, pocketbooks, purses, wallets, keychains, everything had to be left at home. And if you walked more than a half a mile, you were considered working. You could not walk that far. It's called a Sabbath day's journey. On a Sabbath day, you can only walk a half a mile. You couldn't cook anything. You couldn't bake anything. You couldn't even boil water. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Some of us can't even boil water. No, okay, just kidding. So thank God for Jesus. He came to fulfill all the law. Now, we can't really realize, or the Old Testament people didn't really realize what Jesus did when he came. Because we are stuck in the old way. They were stuck in the old way in the Old Testament to do all these sacrifices for your sins. But check out Jesus. He said there's seven things that he did for us that they didn't know. He was the perfect sacrifice for us, and we are all made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. What a discovery that is, amen? You don't have to work for your salvation. You're already made righteous because of what Jesus did for you. They didn't realize what they had when Jesus came. Praise the Lord. It says, not by works, lest any man should boast. I had a friend, and I don't want to tell you what religion he was, but it was one of those religions where you had to work for your salvation. And so I asked him, brother, he went to a funeral before the basketball game. I go, so let me ask you, did the man go to heaven? He goes, we don't know. I go, what do you mean you don't know? That's up for God to decide. I go, how would you like to know for sure? Oh, you can't know for sure. I go, yeah, you can. It's in the Bible that if you confess your faults one to another, if you accept Jesus in your heart, you'll be saved. And he goes, you can't know for sure. He said, you're 100% wrong. I go, no, I'm not. I'm 100% right. And so we go back and forth, but we haven't changed each other's mind. But I know the right way. Amen. And one day, I'm hoping one day all these words that I've spoken will come popping up in his spirit, and he'll go like, ooh, yeah, I think Pastor Chuck was right. So now another thing we have a heavenly destination. We know where we're going after this life is over. We'll fly away. Amen. We'll be in heaven in a blink of an eye. That's good news, right? So you don't have to be concerned if one of your loved ones has gone on. The Bible says to rejoice with those that are rejoicing. If they're in heaven, they're rejoicing. We need to rejoice as well. We'll see them again, and it'll be for forever. We have a heavenly destination. If we had hope in this world only, we would be all men, what? Most miserable. Amen? This is not the end. This is not even the best. The best is yet to come. Praise God. So those are three good things. But guess what? The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. The God of all creation now says, I'll reside in my people so that I can help them do what they need to do. This is good news. Amen? You're not just mere men. You have the Holy Ghost. You have the divine providence of God on the inside of you to do things and accomplish things that you couldn't do in your own strength. Things that you're facing, you go like, I can't do it, but I know God can help me. Praise the Lord. Now, we're adopted. Here's another thing. We're adopted into the family of God. We are called before the foundation of the world. He knows those that are his. He's called us. We're in the family. Amen? That's good news, isn't it? If you were in the family of the Hiltons, that would be good news, right? You'd have a lot of money, okay? But we're in the family of Almighty God. Now, here's another thing that they didn't realize. The Gentiles were included in the salvation. Beforehand, it was just the Jews. But now, all of a sudden, he said, I want all the peoples that I have, made to come into the family of God. And here's another thing, the last thing. The devil has been defeated. Amen? Amen? Yes. You don't have to worry about the devil made me do it. No. He can't make you do anything. Right. Amen? I'm overpowered. The spirit is all. No, just tell that spirit to go to where he belongs. Praise God. Now, here's the way the Apostle Paul was saying. And he said, the gospel that I'm preaching is a mystery. He said it like 10 or 15 times in the New Testament. It's a mystery. It's hard to understand. That's why when I try to talk to my friends of another religion, they don't get it because it has to be spiritually discerned. We have to spiritually know who Jesus is. My friend asked me, well, where is Jesus? I go, Jesus is in heaven, but his spirit's on the inside of me. Like right over his head, like, come on, what's the matter with you? So here's what Paul said. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. No hope is a bad place to be, isn't it? No hope. I got no hope, you know. But he said, you have hope. You have been brought near. It says in verse 13, but now in Christ, you who were once far off, who weren't even on the map, who weren't even in consideration, who did not even have a chance or a prayer, now you are brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What did you do? I just received the Lord and what he did for me. This is good news. Amen. Now, therefore, verse 19, now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, last verse, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What does that mean? When we all come together, we bring a part of the Lord here with us. We bring what we know, and we gather together, and we are a habitation of God in the Spirit. God is here because we are here, because we're here to magnify and glorify him. We bring what we know about the Lord here, and we sing, and we praise, and we dance, and, you know, Ron leads us, and we praise the Lord, and the Holy Spirit says, I like this place. This is where I want to be. Amen? A habitation of God in the Spirit. Now, Rosie's going to come up and read a scripture for us.
Good morning, church. I'll be reading from 1 John 3, 1 and 2. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
You can take that. You can take that. So here we see a scripture where it says that when we go to heaven, we're going to see Jesus. But guess what? You can see him now in the Spirit. When you see him and know who he is through his word, you can become that and you can be like Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you like Jesus? Yes. You remember how the woman with the issue of blood said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Right. Guess what? We can be that person. They said, if I could just touch the hem of his suit, I can be made whole. And the Apostle Paul figure that out. He said, I got handkerchiefs that after I'm preaching, I just give it out to people and they go and people get healed from the handkerchief. Praise the Lord. So next time, and evil spirits left. So I think next time when people say, you know, I've got a demon in my house, I'll just give them my handkerchief and tell them, go on over there and be be healed. Amen? So so we it's a hard thing to realize. I mean, we all know scripturally and mentally that we're children of God. We know that, right? But to actually put it into a benefit in your daily life, that takes a little bit of meditation. It takes a little bit of application in your heart. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Isn't that good to know? Yes. Well, who do you think you are? I'm a child of God. Amen. Don't touch this. Amen. So when we have the Spirit of the Lord, it comes with being free from hurts, concerns, troubles. We have total peace because he is the Prince of Peace. Isn't that right? Now, here's another scripture we don't have on the board, but I'm going to read it to you. Paul's writing again because he said he wanted us to know what we have in Christ. The disciples didn't even know. Peter said, Paul writes some things that's hard to understand. We don't get it. You know, of course, Peter would say that. I don't get it. But he said, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love for all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of you. Do you know what the hope of your calling is and the riches and the glory of the inheritance in the saints? Do you know who you are? You can't be taking stuff in and letting it bother you. You got to take authority over it. Praise the Lord. You know, when We go to play basketball, and we sent the text out, and they go, oh, it's kind of windy. I go, oh, ye of little faith. What's wrong with you? Jesus spoke to the wind. He told the sea to be calm. I said, watch. It's going to be nice and sunny. It's nice and sunny on Sunday. I always remind the Lord, Lord, it's your day. It's Sunday. Amen. It's supposed to be sunny on Sunday for the Lord's day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I learned that because I heard about this guy. He had this conference on the parking lot of a supermarket, and he invited all these big names of all the people that were preaching in Christianity, and he was there, and he was watching. All of a sudden, the clouds start rolling in. He goes, oh, my gosh, what is that? And then the ministers weren't even concerned. They were talking and having a good time, and he goes, guys, and guess what? It started to rain. And it was so bad, they were on a hill like this, and the water was coming down. They had to lift their pant legs up, and they go, oh, my God. And the ministers, they weren't saying anything. And he said to the Lord, Lord, what's going on here? He said, why aren't they doing anything? He says, because you're in charge. You need to take control and authority over the wind and the sea. And so he said, storm, I command you to stop and hold your flood, hold your waters in Jesus' name. And he said, all of a sudden, it just opened up and the sun came out and they were dry and they had their service. So I learned that. You know, sometimes you can learn from people. I've been learning for 40 years what people do. And so I just apply what I've heard and learned. You know, and I was sitting in this chair like you for, I don't know, 13, 14, 15 years. And I heard preaching and preaching and preaching. And I'm going like, Lord, I want to preach. And he said, you just sit there and you take it all in. So all I'm giving you is everything I learned for 13 or 14 or 15 years. And it'll work. Why? Because it's a principle of God that we have to take authority over situations. Amen? So what Rosie didn't read, I held from her in verse 3 after 1 John. There it is. Okay. Give Anthony a hand. I mean, he's right on it. Amen? He's not sleeping back there. You know, I don't have to go, hey, Anthony, come on, Anthony, wake up. No. You've seen some ministers where the guy's not doing right and the minister loses it. You know, I saw one guy, he was teaching on love, and some guy's phone went off, and he went over there and grabbed it and threw it down and smashed it up. And I go like, ooh, that was bad. So it says, after we know that Jesus is our Father, verse 3 says, every man that has this hope in him does what? Purifies himself, even as he is pure. If we're going to meet the Lord, if we love the Lord and he's in our heart, we want to purify ourselves. We want to do those things that are right in his sight. In Psalms 24, it says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Is that you? Clean hands? You can say, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm doing all the things that I'm supposed to do. I've forgiven people. I've talked to them and asked them for forgiveness if I've done anything wrong. Hello? Remove yourself from sin. Let sin have no place in you. Oh, this is so good. Amen? You can do that here, right? But now put it into practice when you go home. That's what you have to do. Glory to God. So it says, the eyes, let's go back to verse 18, Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That means your heart being open to understand who you are and who you have in Christ and what he's done for you. It's a great thing to know the hope of your calling. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go. Now, I learned, going back to my years, when I was in the ministry of helps, they said, everything that Jesus has done, that makes it available for you to do it. Okay? So what do you mean about that? Well, you know, you ever heard of the five ministry gifts? Yeah. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Jesus was all of those. Let's look. He was an apostle, the Bible says in Hebrews 3:1, the apostle and high priest of our confession is Christ Jesus. He's an apostle. He sent out people to form churches. And he's the high priest of our confession. Guess what? If you don't say anything, nothing happens. Jesus can't mediate and intercede for you, right? Well, I don't know why the Lord's not working in my life. Open your mouth. Talk a little bit. I mean, he can work. Give me something to work with. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay. I hope this is hitting you somewhere. Amen? Because you know what? We don't like to talk about our problems. We don't like to speak to it. We say, oh, well, whatever the Lord's will is. No, it's whatever you speak, the Lord's will. Yes. Praise God. Yes. It's your words that come out of your mouth. But the devil tries to shut us up. The devil tries to make us be quiet and not speak anything or say the wrong thing. Oh, Lord, where are you? Oh, Lord, aren't you hearing me? Lord, Lord, Lord. No, he's saying, now speak to the mountain. Don't talk to me about the mountain. You speak to it. You take charge. You take authority. You feed the multitude. What? Yes. Okay. He's a prophet in Matthew 21:1. This is the prophet from the Nazareth of Galilee. He was a prophet. He spoke words ahead of time. He told them that when he dies, he's going to be rose from the dead, and he told them all the things that they're going to do. Evangelist. Of course, we know he's an evangelist in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He was an evangelist. He was a pastor. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He pastors us. I'm an under-shepherd. I work for him. I reach out and love you with the love of God. Amen. But he is the pastor. He watches over us. He's a teacher. Nicodemus said, we know that you're a teacher come from God. We know this stuff. So even in church, we are working in his anointing. If you're an usher, Jesus was an usher. When he multiplied the loaves and the fishes, he said, set them down in sets of 50. He was organizing them. He was letting them be in an orderly fashion. That's what these ushers do. Try to get you in a good seat. Amen? Amen. And they'll take money if you want to. He was in children's church. Why? He said, suffer the little children to come upon me so that I can pray for them and lay my hands on them. He did children's church. He did all those things that we could do. So whatever you're doing something, you say, Jesus, work through me. Jesus, you know, be my lead and my guide. And so I applied this. One time I was going to apply for a job at Farmers Insurance as an auto insurance adjuster, which was a miracle in itself because I did not know anything about cars at all, not zero, not one thing. But I needed a job. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to do what you have to do. And so I applied for the job, and I was interviewing with the supervisor, and he said, you don't want this job. I go, why? Just go back there and look at those three adjusters back there. You tell me if you want the job. So I went back there. One guy was like a nervous wreck. He was like shaking his head, pulling his hair back. Another guy was pacing back and forth, talking to himself. I don't know why this. Okay, whatever. Okay. One guy was yelling on the phone to the body shop. Well, you know, we can't figure it. What are you doing? I'm going, oh, my God. And you know what I said? If Jesus had this job, how would he do it? Would he be that way? Would he be nervous? Would he be talking to himself? Would he be yelling? So, and a sidelight to that, I said, oh, I'll take the job. He went, what? I go, yeah, because I was thinking, if Jesus was on earth and he had all these things that he had to do, do you think he was all nervous and talking to himself and pacing back and forth? I mean, can you see it in Jesus in his house? He's writing the Sermon on the Mount. You know, getting ready for this biggest sermon of all time. And the disciples come in, they said, hey, Jesus, they're asking for the tax money. What should we do? Boys, listen, okay? I'm running a little bit late on time here. Yeah, I'm doing the Sermon on the Mount, okay? I got pushed back because, you know, that woman with the issue of blood, she grabbed me. She told me her whole story. I had to talk to her. Then blind Bartimaeus, he's pulling me out on the side of the road. Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. I had to stop and heal him. And then I'm already behind on Lazarus. He's 4 days in the grave. I'm supposed to go over there. Guys, just leave me alone for a little bit, okay? Close the door on the way out, and I'll talk to you later. No, he was not that way. He had everything under control. Why? He got up early in the morning. He prayed. This day was laid out for him. Nothing caught him by surprise. And even on my insurance job, it seemed like everything I did, I asked and prayed the Lord. He always made everything work out good for me. And then, in fact, in 6 months' time, when my supervisor had to go on vacation for 2 weeks, guess who they made in charge? Mr. Calm, Mr. Cool, Calm, and Collective. Because he said, we know you're not going to be yelling at the clients. You know, you're not going to be going crazy. And I can go, he said, I can go and be at peace knowing that you're going to handle every situation. Right? That's who you are in Christ. You have authority. You can do all things well. Praise the Lord. So we have to know that. I'm going to give you, no, okay. Now, here's an example. Remember when Jesus was on the ocean, on the sea, and he told his disciples, "Let's go to the other side." And they said, okay. And they thought it was going to be a nice little, you know, luxury trip, you know. It's a small world after all. We're with Jesus. What could go wrong, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, guess what? A storm came. And the boat was rocking. How many of you got some rocky boats in your life going on right now? Amen? I've learned that when you got those rocky boats, you just got to go, okay, Lord, I know you're going to see me through this. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to give it to you and be confident to know that you're going to work all things out for my good. And you leave it there, and you just thank him for it. And he seems to give you the answer. Like, for instance, I was trying to apply for a grant to afford some things here, like the Easter egg hunt, and I couldn't get through. And you have to do everything electronically now, right? By computer. I couldn't get through. It was just rejecting me. So I was working on it for 2 weeks, and I go to this seminar that they're supposed to answer all your questions, but there was 166 people on it, and they all had the same problems. We can't get through. We can't get in. What's the problem? And they said, well, we can't get to all of you. I go, okay, well, I'll just sit here and listen for 2 hours. And I finally found some things that were similar to mine. So I got halfway, and then I said, Lord, I don't know. It's not working. I give up. You ever been there? I give up. I guess it's not going to work. So I went downstairs, and I said, okay, Lord, let your will be done. And so I came back up, and all of a sudden I typed in, and the screen popped up. And I don't know what happened. It wasn't there before. I was able to apply for it. I go, holy moly, this is amazing. Not by my might or by my power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. If you're stuck on a problem, ask the Lord to help you. Glory to God. So as they were sailing in this storm, now these are experienced fishermen, right? They've been on storms before. They know what's good and what's bad and what's going to kill them. And they go to the Lord. Let's see, do I have that up there? In Luke 8, verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. What do you mean? Jesus has fallen asleep in the middle of your storms? Don't you feel that way sometimes? Jesus, are you there? Or do you hear me? Where are you? He fell asleep. Why did he fall asleep, you ask? Well, because remember, he used to get up a great while before day to pray. That's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, and he's praying. So now he wants to rest. It's just a simple boat ride. He can take a rest. But he was deep in sleep. And a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And the King James says in the next verse, they said, Master, 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 carest thou not that we perish? I like the King James. It's so polite, isn't it? It's like a teacup, you know. Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? How would you say it? Jesus, wake up, for crying out loud. What's happening? Don't you know what's happening here? We're going to die. Don't you care that we perish? Then he arose and did what? Rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea, be still, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Why? Not just a calm, a great calm. Do you have problems in your relationships or in your work situations? You say, peace, be devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. My situation, peace, be still. He is the Prince of Peace, and he's here to minister to you whatever you need, and he's there to help you, right? And here's the last verse on that. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Didn't I say we're going to go to the other side? I didn't say we're going to try to go to the other side. I said we're going to the other side. How many times did he tell you to do something, and then you wind up getting into trouble and storms? That doesn't mean that's not the will of God. It means you're supposed to take authority over that situation. That worker that you have that's causing you pain and heartache, you take authority over it. Amen? You tell that spirit, cease and desist, and Spirit of God, the peace of God, come upon me and them in Jesus' name, amen? That's including your kids and your in-laws and your outlaws and all that stuff, praise God. Now, why did he say, where's your faith? He wanted them to speak to the ocean. He wanted them to speak to the sea. why are you waking me up? Where is your faith? Amen. You take authority. You take. When he multiplied the loaves and the fishes, he said, you feed them. They go like, why? What do you mean we feed them? We can't feed them. You can feed them. You can speak to situations and cause things to happen in your life. Okay, last word on this, okay? He said to them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying to one another, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and water, and they obey him. What manner of man is this? The same manner of man that you're supposed to be. Hello? Let it sink in. Who are you? You got Christ on the inside. You're supposed to take authority over situations. What manner of man? The same manner of man that we are. Jesus said that when I go away, you will do greater works because I'm with you. Amen? Use the power of God. Use the name of God to cause things to happen for your good. Praise God. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us together today. We thank you that you're a great God, the mighty God, the God that can do all things. We thank you that you're residing on the inside of us, and you want us to take authority over situations, to bring God into the situation so that we may do those things that are pleasing in your sight and fulfill the will of God in our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'll just take a few minutes here before Ron closes us out. If you're in that situation at work or home or even in your body and you want the Lord to touch you, I want you just to stand to your feet and we're going to pray for you and we're going to see the Lord work in your life and in your heart because he is the great God. There's nothing too difficult for him. Whatever you're facing, God is good. God said, take my name. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll give or grant it to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to let Ron play a little bit. Let the Holy Spirit just come in and fill our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you with all of our concerns, all the things that are bothering us. But we know, Father, you have overcome. You have conquered the world. We thank you, Lord God, that we can speak our situations to you. We can speak over them and speak to them so that they can be solved and settled. In your name we pray. So just to yourself, just speak out your words to the Lord. Speak to that mountain. Speak to that sea, that storm. Open your mouth so that your confession of faith, the Holy Spirit, the Jesus, our intercessor, can intercede for us.